This podcast is a part of a series called Elevate My Pharmacy Career. I'm Ved Jukovic, an intern pharmacist.
Hello, my name is Yani Liu, and I'm a fourth year pharmacy student working with Pharmacy Career Platform. This encompasses both Locumate, an online platform connecting locums and pharmacies, and Jobs in Pharmacy, a digital marketplace connecting you to careers in pharmacy.
In this Elevate My Pharmacy Career series, we get a chance to deep dive into the careers of trailblazers within the pharmacy industry. Using our team, we explore the expansive career opportunities in the pharmacy industry by focusing on new innovation, technology, and the people driving it.
In each episode, we are joined by guest speakers who have been making a real impact within our community. We are honored today to be joined by Andrew Midland, who is a compounding pharmacist at Formulae Australia with expansive past experiences across a number of fields within the pharmacy industry, including being manager partner of a retail pharmacy, experiences in animal medicine, hospital pharmacy, as well as working in HIV clinics in Kenya. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So before we start with all the questions that we have, we'll start with a bit of an icebreaker question, and Ved and I will answer this one too. So if you could choose one animal to represent yourself, what would it be and why? So for me personally, I think I would be an elephant. I think I radiate a lot of calm energy, quite confident, but I'm also very loyal to friends and family, and quite sociable as well. What about you, Ved?
So I'm boring, and I chose a dog just because I'm loyal and playful, but yeah, I chose the boring one this time.
No, not at all. What about you, Andrew?
I guess, yeah, I'm just having a think. I do quite like lions. I haven't spent a bit of time in Africa. I like, they can be just sort of very chilled and just laying out in the sun all day and just relaxing, and then when they need to kick into gear, then they can, all of a sudden they jump into gear, which is kind of what I'm like.
Perfect. So having that both sides as well.
Can I change my answer? Yeah. All right, we'll get into the questions, Andrew. Now, this is a big question, as you know, a student and intern right now. A lot of students think that, you know, the pathways in pharmacy are either community or hospital. You've worked in many different settings. So can you tell us a bit about where you've worked and how you found these opportunities?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I guess having to think back, I have done quite a bit. It's just kind of happened along the way. But when I was at uni, I always wanted to work in hospital. That was my plan. I did my internship at Western Hospital in Footscray, and that was fantastic. They had a really good program. I learned a lot. And just an opportunity just came up to work at a pharmacy in Warrnambool, a community pharmacy, which and I just sort of decided at the spur of a moment to give it a go. I'd never lived by the beach. So went and did that for a while. And then my plan was always to travel. So that's when I worked overseas. Started at the, got a role in London. So I couldn't work as a pharmacist in the UK. They changed the laws a bit before I went. You had to do like a 1-year changeover course. But I was able to work as a technician. And they actually have different bands of technicians in the UK. So there's different levels you can do, increased training. So I was able to go on to the highest level of tech, obviously with my degree. So then I kind of did a locum work as a tech. So yeah, I worked in anywhere for, I did a month at a prison, which was very interesting, and a bit of time at Manchester Hospital. And then I was locuming at this animal medicine company, and they offered me a full-time role in London. So that was interesting. We worked for people's pets and for horses, dogs, cats, birds, and shipped medication all over Europe. And I often worked with translators who were doing things in like Germany, France, Spain was our main sort of customers. So that was quite interesting. Did that for about a year, and then decided to to go to Africa. I wanted to travel through there and worked at the HIV clinic there, which was a volunteer post, teaching people about their medication and what, like the antivirals that were available. And then sort of came back and decided I should get serious in my career, and got back into retail, like into community, and decided I wanted to be a partner. So I spoke to the group that I was working with. I spoke to them about what I needed to do to become that partner and work my way up to that. And was lucky enough to be a partner in 4 different stores in Warragul, in Gippsland. Did that for about 6 years, which was great. A lot of work, but it taught me a lot. And definitely don't regret it. But it was, my wife and I decided we were going to have some kids and wanted to live closer to my family, and was a fair bit away from family. So decided to move. And so I ended up back in Albury Wodonga, and actually did a complete change and worked for National Australia Bank briefly. Decided I wanted a little bit of a break from pharmacy, and worked as a small business banker to help businesses, and actually realised how good pharmacy is once I was out of it. So, I think the office jobs, there's a bit more to it than you thought. I thought you just kind of sat there and did emails all day, but it is quite hard. I just missed that. I've missed helping people and missed that side of things. And luckily enough to meet Ben, who's the owner of the compounding pharmacy where I'm working now.
Yeah, that's really an interesting pathway you chose. Yeah. It sounds like you molded your career how you wanted, like, to do it. Now, you said you learned a lot through those experiences, but what are some of the skills and the experience that you've gained through all these different roles?
I think probably just being able to be adaptive and resilient. You never really know what's going to come up, but I feel like now I could go into pretty much any pharmacy and be, take whatever comes at me. Like it's, you know, you just be able to adapt that pretty easily. And you just kind of learn ways to learn quickly, I guess, because you're not always going to have the answer at your fingertips.
And when you were talking about before, Andrew, sort of your experiences, and you've definitely traveled a lot and seen the world, it sounded very smooth sailing in your answer, but I'm sure that there was a lot of factors to consider behind it that didn't make it as smooth. So I guess my question is, what were some of the major setbacks or challenges that you experienced throughout your career, whether it's at the beginning, during, or even now? And how were you able to overcome that adversity? Did you have like mentors you could reach out to? How did you go about overcoming those adversities and challenges?
Yeah, I think the traveling was definitely, working overseas was harder than it sounds. At the time, I thought I'd just turn up and just grab any old job. But I guess we are very spoiled in pharmacy in general. It's, you know, if you're willing to travel or to move, you know, into a regional area, as an example, there's always work available. But when I was turned up in London and, you know, I was just one of millions of people who were wanting work, that's where it became a bit tricky. Overcome the challenges, I guess I just kind of looked at every avenue. The work I did with Medicanimal, I actually found that on Gumtree. I went through locum agencies, I went through recruiting agencies, and I was looking for an apartment to live in, and this ad just happened to be on there, because they didn't go through pharmacy channels, because they were governed by the vet board, so it was just completely different. So I guess that's probably how I'd overcome things, just keep a real open mind and just look, don't sort of leave any stone unturned as to where you might find an opportunity.
And that's a really good motto to live life by, I guess, don't leave any stones unturned, and being resilient throughout and just looking at all your avenues.
And you mentioned mentors. I've been, you know, very lucky to work with a bunch of different people on the way who, you know, had some great experience. And I think something I've tried to do, which isn't always easy, but is try to take feedback on board from people, especially people that are more experienced than me, because they have been through it before. They're trying to help, and to try to not be too defensive when someone gives you a way to improve, just to take that on board.
Are there any examples you can think of specifically, maybe in when you were starting out as being a managing partner in retail pharmacy? Did you reach out to any mentors then about how to approach it, or did they guide you throughout that process? Because you said you were managing about 4 retail pharmacies at the time.
Yeah, so I was a partner in the 4, but I was mostly managing the 1. But we had the other partners that were in the partnership. They were great mentors to me. And I think sort of one thing that I learned, especially at the start, I was trying to be someone different as a manager. I had to, because I was the partner, and I decided that I had to try and be the big boss man or whatever. And it wasn't my personality. And that was actually, I had some very good advice to just, you know, continue to be yourself. And then that's going to be a lot easier than trying to pretend to be someone else.
And I'm also curious to know, previously you've described yourself as being really passionate about actively listening to patients when it comes to coming to a shared conclusion, rather than just trying to make patients fit into a box. Are there any experiences you've had in the past, whether it's when you were in the UK or in Kenya or in Australia, that have highlighted this point and have helped you come to this realization that it's really important to be actively listening to patients?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in my current role, it's something we do a lot. So I think that, I'm currently doing, like, we do health assessments, we do consult bookings with patients, and a lot of the time what we're trying to do is to find the underlying cause of their issue. So, you know, they might come in with a sleep issue and it's easy to give them something, you know, just to jump straight to a medication to help with sleep. But what we try to do is to look at what's behind it, what is the underlying cause, and then we can actually get a much better result. So by actually just taking the time to listen to people and finding out more about their experiences, we usually see that we get a better result.
And would you say you had similar experiences working in the UK and Kenya, like really listening to patients, even though they might be from different cultures or countries as well, was really important?
Yeah, definitely. And I think trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes is important. We had I remember an example when I was working in the UK. We did a lot of work for horses, and horses have passports, which I was unaware of.
I wasn't aware of that either.
In a few European countries, they actually eat horse, and there was some issues. So if we're giving medication to people then for their horses, then we had to know whether that horse was ever going to be used for meat because of the medications. And so when I started working there, it was commonplace in the European countries to have this information. They brought in some laws in the UK that we then had to know this as well, and had to be added onto the passport. So we actually had to contact their customers and ask them if there was ever any chance that their horse would be used for human consumption. And had some very upset people horse people can be very dedicated to their animals. And so that was a bit of a thing where, you know, it was to other cultures, it was fine. Yeah, no problem. We're not going to eat this horse, or we're not going to send this to the butcher. But in the UK culture, it was just something that wasn't normally done. And yeah, had some awkward conversations, but we worked through it.
Definitely. Recently, I just completed a placement within community pharmacy, and they're a compounding pharmacy as well. So I got a little bit of exposure and taste into what it's like to do some of that compounding. And also definitely I relate to a lot of it's talking to the patient, because it's very customized to the patient and their needs and what they want. Like if they've used something specifically, a specific flavor they like, for example. So going back to that, the cultural shock, are there any other examples of where you experienced like a cultural shock?
I mean, yeah, Kenya was definitely a shock. And I think once again, sort of putting, like, we would sort of, our job was to kind of walk around the streets and try to get people to come in and do free HIV tests. Mm-hmm. And then we would educate them about the medication that they'd have as well. So, and I guess it was a bit being a bit sort of sheltered until you go there, I just thought that would be easy because it's free. Why wouldn't you do it? Just come in and see us and have a chat. And people would literally turn around and run away when I'd speak to them, like just run off a few times, or they'd just blatantly ignore me, just pretend that they couldn't speak English or things like that, which when I knew that they could. And it was purely just because of fear, and they didn't want to know that they had HIV. And or alternatively, a lot of them just, they had so many issues that this was the least of their worries. You know, you might have HIV, but then they didn't know where they were getting food the next day. So to them, they were like, that was much more of an issue, much more of a pressing issue than what we were doing. So yeah, that was a real eye opener. And you have this idea you're going to go and make a really big change and really big difference and help. And I think we definitely helped. But it's obviously, it's extremely complex issues to try and sort out.
Definitely, for sure. And do you think that those experiences have helped you become a better pharmacist as well now?
Yeah, I think so. I think perspective definitely helps with that. You know, when you feel like you're having a bit of a bad day, you can kind of remember some of those situations and you realise we've got it pretty good.
It would be really hard to overcome those kind of barriers, especially in Kenya. How did you get people to come in and get tested that way then?
Yeah, we were just very persistent and tried to sort of, I guess we got better after time. I was there for like 8 weeks. Probably didn't have anyone come in after the first week. And then we kind of slowly worked at it. There were some other medical students there as well that I was working with, some from the US and some from Canada. And so we just kind of changed our tact a bit, I guess, and tried to put ourselves in their shoes a bit more and explained the situation a bit better, I guess.
Back to your new role, or your role, current role now in Formulae, you did describe a little bit about having to listen to customers and try to figure out what the best possible treatment course is for them. But can you describe, like, day to day, what your role is now in the compounding pharmacy?
Yeah, definitely. I've been here for a bit over a year. The Formulae is relatively new as a brand. So our owner, Ben, he met with some other compounding pharmacies and they decided to join forces and create this brand. So we rebranded in September last year. So I do half of my work as the pharmacist in the store and half of my work working with the brand to help expand and develop new programs. So, and we do entirely compounding. So we don't do any other, no other sort of community pharmacy things. We have, we're all non-PBS. We have a very small front of shop. We just have a few of our skincare products, just compounding entirely. We have two lab technicians working constantly, developing our orders. And so, yeah, so my day is really between counselling patients, similar to what you would do in community. I was checking the scripts and helping to formulate new products.
Perfect. So being in compounding pharmacy now, do you see any areas that you're excited to see growing and expanding, or that you're keeping an eye on specifically within compounding?
Yeah, so I think all that we're based around is individualization and, not one size fits all. So that area is expanding always. I think there's been a bit of a shift in the last few years of people wanting more personalized medication. So definite areas of things like genome testing and things in the future, I think will be amazing. So, and that's where compounding will be able to really, will just be perfectly placed to expand into that. So just to try and take a bit of the guesswork out of prescribing rather than a sort of trial and error situation, which is what we currently have. So yeah, so we do a lot of testing already. So we do nutrient testing and gut microbiome testing and skin pH testing and all of that on site. And then we use that to tailor products for people.
And do you think that's the direction that pharmacy as a whole, compounding pharmacy, will evolve into the future?
Yeah, I think so. It's especially so, I mean, our sort of main areas we focus on are skin, nutrition and hormones. So there's sort of areas that really do need that individualization. So, for example, we do nutrition consults. People come in and we'll then do like blood work or urine testing and basically just get their results back of about 16 different vitamins, minerals, and then I just make them up a compound with exactly what they need. So, you know, and the results we get from that are fantastic because it's just tailored to them. We know their whole medical history, so we're able to dose at a much higher level so that knowing that it's safe because they've been tested. And then we just don't bother putting in things that they don't need. What we're trying to do here is to kind of return pharmacy to be too similar to any other health profession, really. So you think about what other health professional could you just turn up and just start speaking to them straight away and just expect that they're just going to be able to drop everything and give you advice and not pay for it. In this role, we have like our online booking page. We'll actually allocate 30, 40 minutes in our consult room to sit down and do full assessments with people. And so we're now charging for that to cover our time. From the customer base that we have, they're quite happy to do that because they know that they're actually going to get an individualized plan and actually get results and follow up.
It does sound like we're trying to push pharmacy into that direction anyway, even with the, pharmacist prescribing that everyone's talking about. We want, as pharmacists, to be able to sit down with customers if they want to and not just talk, casually over the dispensary wall, so we can have a good evaluation with them.
I think that's the general where most of it is going. I believe that's where most pharmacies are trying to go, and you most will have a consult room now, and it is challenging too because people expect to just be able to come in and the drop of a hat have information provided to them.
Yeah, exactly. What advice would you give to early career pharmacists in getting out there and seeing like the different aspects of what pharmacists can provide and make a difference?
Yeah, my advice would be just to keep an open mind and just to give anything a go. You never know what's around the corner or what door will open from working somewhere or trying something different. I've been very lucky to have lots of opportunities, but every time I took a role, there was reasons to not take it as well. It was too far away. It was, that was usually the main thing. The location was far away from my friends and family, I didn't know anyone in the town. But just give it a go is my advice. And if there's something that you want, make it known. I wanted a partnership. I wanted to be a partner. So I spoke to the partners that were currently there and I asked them what I needed to do. So, don't try and guess, just speak to the source, find out what you need to do and then do it.
And how do you think your varied roles and experiences within pharmacy and even coming out of pharmacy a little bit and going into banking, small business banking, made you realise your passions for pharmacy? How do you think all those experiences have influenced your decision making and shaped you into who you are today as a pharmacist and as a person?
Definitely stepping into the banking made me realise that I do enjoy helping people, and that's why I got into pharmacy in the first place. I found myself always trying to get them like the best interest rate and stuff like that, and was trying to help and kind of do things that was a bit out of the scope of my role because I was just trying to help out people. So that's something that all those roles have shown me. And that's why I particularly like this role, because, we're able to take out some of the barriers that can get in the way sometimes of helping people, which is generally time.
I'm also curious, I want to explore a bit more into the model that Formulae runs by.
Yeah, so it was, it's sort of grown over time. We've been doing consults for a while, but this recent ones that we started, these health assessments, I developed them with the other owners of Formulae as well. And we all, it was a kind of a shared work to develop this plan. And now we're able to kind of expand that into all sorts of areas. But it really just came from constant feedback from customers that they're frustrated with having a 8 or 9 minute appointment with a GP to go through something really complex, such as HRT and or pain issues, and it's, you know, they just don't get enough time to go through it. And then we would speak to the GPs and they'd say the same thing. They're like, we don't have enough time to do it properly. So we said, well, all right, well, why don't we do some of the legwork for you? We basically do a full history of the patient. We order tests for them. And then I create like a 2-page report to send to the GP, which explains everything about the patient. So then they can read that in a few minutes beforehand. So they're actually prepared. You know, then that means that we can actually like properly work as integrative health, which is what we're aiming to do.
Amazing. And it sounds like you've definitely built a really great relationship with GPs and other health professionals as well in the process. Do you think some of the skills of you doing an internship in hospital helps in that process, being able to communicate with all different disciplines and health professionals as an intern in hospital?
Yeah, definitely. I think the hospital was a fantastic place to do an internship. You learn a huge amount of things, and there's so many different areas you can go in. And so, yeah, I did definitely thought that helped, you know, because speak to everyone from, you know, the doctors, nurses, physios, dietitians, osteos, all on the way. So that really helped. I guess I've always been sort of lucky in a way, or if it's just my personality, but I don't usually get fazed talking to people if they're whether they're delivery driver or the specialist gastroenterologist or something. I'll speak to them the same, like that doesn't really faze me. So yeah, so I think that's kind of helped along the way. I don't really get too nervous, I guess.
That's an amazing quality to have, not being too fazed to speak to anyone. And I guess before we wrap up, do you have any final words of advice for students or early career pharmacists who may be a bit hesitant and not sure of where to go in their career or who to approach and what to do? They're feeling a bit stuck. Any words of advice?
Yeah, I think just talk to as many people as you can. Try to just reach out to anyone and everyone that you'll see. I guess you never know what's going to happen. So if you ask me when I was at uni, I said that I'd work in hospital pharmacy forever and I'd gradually make my way up and be a director of pharmacy. That was my plan. Did not expect to work in community, said I'd never own a pharmacy. I definitely didn't think I'd ever be in compounding. Like, I've loved all those things. So yeah, I think that's just my advice. Just try to, you just never know what's around the corner. So just keep an open mind and take as much advice as you can from everybody. Not just pharmacists, not just family members, just everyone on TV, in the street, customers, anyone. You know, there's a lot of people that have a wealth of knowledge, and so you just never know where it's going to take you.
Lovely. Andrew, a big thank you for joining us today on the podcast. It has been a really eye-opening chat to learn about your varied experiences and that resilience you have and making your brand known and what you want and speaking with people, doing the research as well. We've definitely taken a lot of great learnings from you today, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to have a chat with us.
Oh, no worries. It's been great. Thank you.
And a thank you to everyone else for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you want to follow Andrew on his journey, you can find him on LinkedIn or at formulate.com.au.
And if you haven't already, please visit our website at jobsinpharmacy.com.au to elevate your pharmacy career today. Thank you so much for listening.